The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We're back, second hour of the National Intel Report on this Thursday, June 22, 2018. Ladies and gentlemen, what you heard was a complete, uninterrupted interview with Mr. Snowden. NSA whistleblower, subcontractor, saw what was going on. And he mainly broke into the scene with the government snitching or listening to you, and there's snitches everywhere, and this is what I see. And he basically gave up a career, gave up a family, and gave up so much. And you can tell that the man is at ease with his decision. There's no angst, there's no whining and crying, and look what I gave up, and this, that, and the other. It was a matter of course with him. It was something that he had the opportunity to do, and he did it. Is this current, Mike? Joe in Oklahoma. Hello, Joe.
How are you today, John?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
I guess I ought to be able to talk to you today. I sent you a check today in the mail. It wasn't for enough, but it's all I could afford.
Okay.
I do appreciate this Snowden audio that you had. It's quite ironic that I've been in some discussion with Senator James Langford from Oklahoma, who sits on the Senate Intelligence Committee, and trying to get out of him what his reasons for supporting the extension of 702 to the FISA Act. And quite interesting, to say the least, what his comments were. But what I responding to his letter, Snowden and Assange both were mentioned in it, and it's just rough draft so far, but I would like to get a copy of that interview with Snowden and put it on a flash drive and send with it. Not that it's going to do any good, but maybe someone there will listen to it.
In fact, I think
every United States senator and congressman ought to get a copy of it.
Well, and, you know, as I said, you know, my main reason for playing that is just the absolute calm that the guy had about his decision. And that's what all Americans should be doing
Absolutely.
Right now. Deciding
Absolutely.
Deciding that, look, I'm not really comfortable with this. You know, it's going to cause a few problems, I'm sure, but it's necessary. And it's this generation. You see, Joe, what's coming up behind us. The mindless little Twitter bots.
Yes.
They're mindless. They have no sense of history. They're ready to dump anything. They're ready to pull down any symbology that they don't like. They're mindless little twits. And you can't even call them a political force. They're just anti-freedom, anti-American. They're anti themselves, and they don't even realize it. I'll tell you what, Mike, do me a favor. I'm going to, Joe, I'm going to take you down here, and we'll send you over a link. We'll send you over a link to that that interview so you can do with it what you will.
Thank you very much, John.
All right, so just hold on 1 second. Let's get an email from him, Mike, or some text number or something that we can send him the information. And let me see if I can go back up here and grab it before I lose my spot. Hold on 1 second here. Multitasking. Yeah, just get an email. You don't have a weapon of mass. You don't. Hey, Mike. Thank you. Okay. All right. You know, this, even this, some people are saying that George Soros is behind this latest school shooting. As far as putting money into turning this into a political cause and organizing the scripted stuff, there was one individual that CNN wanted to do an interview, and they said, well, you get to ask a question, and by the way, here's your question to ask. And he said, well, wait a minute, I've got something to say, and I got my own question. Well, they wouldn't allow him to do it. And CNN went overboard trying to deny that that's exactly what they have done. And it's almost laughable. There's going to have to be some little socialist George Soros groups that are going to have to start funding. And I can't wait for the day that they have to step up and reveal themselves to even fund Fox News. Because these people aren't doing well. They are not doing well at all. When we say their listener or viewership is down, we're not saying that just to make ourselves feel better. No, it's the truth. And the socialist or communist agenda does not wash well. They've tried this before with an ongoing daily, supposed to be entertaining, supposed to be informative format. It was called Air America. And it promptly fell on its face. The wonderful people with the virtues right on their sleeves that, well, let me put it to you this way. They destroyed themselves from within. They had absolutely no sense of what they wanted to accomplish or even how they wanted to accomplish it. We're just going to do this, and people will come because, well, we built the thing. Well, they didn't. And the same thing is happening to MSNBC, CNN. This is going to turn their advertisers, their advertising, are not getting the return on their dollars. And folks, just take a look at what's happening. I played you the clip yesterday. Sean Hannity, the great conservative, getting a little gray around the edges, still pumping out the stuff for millions of dollars a year. He is considered to be one of the nation's great conservatives, just as people tout Ronald Reagan, that we know as being Red Ronnie, as being, well, the greatest president of this century. Well, that's certainly debatable, is it not? So they're going to try the political angle on this, and what better way to do it than to shoot up a predominantly attended Jewish school with very liberal parents? We have very few conservative Jews in this country, folks. Isn't that amazing? See how that happens. And they're going to lose this one as well. Donald Trump, the deal maker that he is, says, okay, well, we're going to outlaw bump stocks. Okay. You're going to outlaw bump stocks. The intent of the Second Amendment, and see, this has been buried. People have been programmed. The intent of the Second Amendment certainly was not about duck hunting. Thank you very much, Bill Clinton. This wasn't about hunting or target shooting or just for my peace of mind to have a piece of iron in my closet. The intent of the Second Amendment was in case there was an attempted overthrow of the government, or I'm sorry, the government on the people. That's pretty much what it is. And folks, I'm telling you what, they couldn't get the gun thing done by Sandy Hook or the orange-haired asshat out in Colorado, not with Columbine. And on Sean Hannity's show, brought up this talk show host, female, and started talking about the SSRIs are screwing up kids, and this might be the reason why this is going on. She was promptly cut off. Now, if Fox News, let me just say it this way. If they lose their pharmaceutical cash bag that's laid at their feet for pushing all types of drugs on the American people that they don't want or don't need, or at least they think they don't want or don't need. But if you're good doctor, you know, in that starched white coat with his stethoscope and pens carefully parked in his parka, you know, you're gonna want to have a tendency to believe. Well, you heard what Snowden said about government. You know, people are looking to the government to solve the problems that they have created themselves. No, folks, it's going to be us. It's going to be a long, slow grind, but it's got to be done. And short of the Second American Restoration Project, it will be done. The resistance against this, there's nothing backing it. Just a lot of hot air and a lot of threats. And that's all that they have. We got the facts, we got the law, we got the Constitution, we got everything we need. The only thing we need is you to make a commitment. I'm tired of this stuff, and it stops here and now. Tomorrow morning, make the decision tonight. Tomorrow morning when you wake and you plant your feet on the floor, you're going to feel like a different person. And if you decide not to decide, you've still made a decision, haven't you? Well, these words are going to be burning in your little brain. How are you going to feel when you get up tomorrow morning? You don't feel any better? Well, then you've not made the choice. And that's what it's going to have to take. The opposition is rabble-rousing. They're really uncoordinated. They have nothing backing them. And we keep leaning on them. They will fall over. Do not give up. And people aren't going to give up their arms, by the way. No way, no how. In New York, the supposed banned weapons up there, maybe 1% of the people said, okay, here, take it. The majority of them, and the cops don't know what to do about it, and the politicians don't, because they know damn right well that it's going to cause a severe problem. There's going to be a pushback of they can't politically cover, or they can't beat down enough doors. And the media, of course, the unbiased individuals that they really are not going to tell you about how many lives firearms saved. Isn't that ironic? A tool that's made to take a life can actually save a life. Give you an example. This happened last spring in Houston. Did you hear anything about this? A Nissan drove by a man's yard, and the men inside started to shoot at him. Authorities said this man, who has a concealed handgun license, responded. He shot back at the car and amazingly hit three men in the vehicle. Pretty good shot, hitting a moving target. Apparently, unbeknownst to the thugs, that man was the legal owner of an AR-15 and enjoyed taking part in target practice at a local shooting range. To some gun advocates out there, there's nothing better than live targets. Despite over 40 rounds reportedly being fired at the homeowner, he suffered zero injuries through the whole ordeal. And yet, amazingly enough, his own shots wound up hitting all three suspects and killing two of them. The homeowner struck all three men inside the car. The driver of the car crashed after the shooting, hitting the car, and then running into a yard. One suspect died at the scene. The other two fled on foot but didn't make it far. According to the station that covered it, KTRK, I'll play a short clip out of that. Of the two suspects that were apprehended, one died later at the hospital while the other underwent surgery for his gunshot wounds. The homeowner, by the way, was never charged since he had merely been protecting himself. Kind of a little bit more of a pushback, wouldn't you say?
Jake, you have some new information about how many rounds were fired, is that right?
40 rounds, Anusha and Sophia. That's what police are telling us. More than 40 rounds were fired, and not one of them hit that homeowner. He was standing in a yard just behind me over my left shoulder at this house. Three suspects came by, police say, and they started opening fire at him, and he returned fire. And if you can pan over here to the left, you can see the suspect's vehicle down the street on Glen Burnie. It sort of crashed there on the left. It's a Nissan Altima. Let's show you some of the video. This happened early this morning. It's remarkable this homeowner wasn't hit because there was an excess of 40 rounds fired, and the homeowner actually was able to hit all three suspects in a moving vehicle, which is quite remarkable when you consider all of these facts. Two of those suspects are dead, police tell us. One died at the scene. The other died at the hospital. The third suspect is at Bentop. He is in surgery. We don't know his condition just yet. The homeowner, who's been answering questions all morning, is still with police and has gone downtown to answer more questions. Detectives telling us that this is most likely going to be a self-defense case, and the homeowner will likely not be charged. His brother tells us, family members tell us, that the brother goes to the shooting range often and has an AR-15, and that is what they tell us is the weapon he used in this shooting.
Thank you, Jake Reiner of KPRC-TV, Channel 2 in Houston. Gun control, that's been burned into people's minds. Gun control to me is aiming what you hit at. This guy hit a moving target, 40 rounds fired at him, he didn't flinch, took the bad guys down, and that's it. Now, I want you to remember something that the media will never remind you of, by the way. This goes for people that are unauthorized or unlawfully or illegally trying to enter your home. That's up to and including the cops. And they're playing a dangerous game. Now they've got the knock and talk stuff, and to them, an open door is an invitation to come inside. Well, there are Supreme Court rulings as to what you can do against overwhelming force that is aimed at you. You have the legal right to protect yourself. So what brand of thug are we talking about? Whatever kind of thug wants to do you bodily harm or kidnap you or whatever the case may be. Slow pushback, folks. I'm not scared and I'm not backing up. Not one step. I'm standing my ground. With a confident look on my face, by the way. Betty in North Carolina. Hello, Betty.
Hello. This Snowden tape you just played, I am thrilled to death with it. I have a granddaughter coming over in a few minutes that I haven't been able to talk hardly anything with. And this, I'm so willing to let her see how an adult conversation can be so clear and pertinent, etc. I had one other thing I wanted to do besides thanking you so much for playing that. The other thing had to do with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the fact that to distinguish between the content of our Bill of Rights and that Declaration of Human Rights is something that I've done a few times, and I haven't done it well enough to be able to articulate it right now to you, but I certainly would encourage people to put the time into doing it. I understand now that this covenant of human rights, the immigrants can claim you can't put them out of the country, and that is in there, part of it. I thought that was of interest, and that's all I had.
All right.
And I thank you again.
Thank you, Betty. I appreciate it. And folks, let me reiterate something again so everybody understands this, that the pushback, this is going to, other people are going to notice this, that you're not flustered about it. You might be a little upset about it. You might even be angry about it. But you know what? You're willing to do something about it. This has an effect on other people and how they themselves act. Calm, quiet, self-assured. Something that has to be done. Okay, let's do it. Many hands make for light work. Let's make it easier on all of us. Let's do it together. Do it now. Make that decision. What are you going to be thinking tomorrow morning when your feet hit the floor?
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out at school? That's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the
Yeah, they never talk about the lives that are saved by the use of firearms for self-protection, do they? Not once. By the way, Plan B for the bankers? I've said this before. Let's go cashless. Amanda Bildner submitted a piece for Technocracy News. No cash signs. Swamp Sweden. Central bank under scrutiny. They're trying to do away with the cash over there. Technocracy's goal to convert the world to digital currency is finally under scrutiny in Sweden, which is the most cash-free nation in Europe. They're also waking up to the fact that it is their central bank that's responsible and are starting investigations. No cash accepted signs are becoming an increasingly common sight in shops and eateries across Sweden as payments go digital and mobile. That's what our little tweet twerks here in this country are doing. You know, they're all primed for it. They're in the cyber cloud. They're not of this earth. But the pace at which the cash is vanishing has authorities worried. A broad review of the central bank legislation that's underway is now taking a special look at the situation, with an interim report due as early as this summer. quoting Matt Dillon, the head of Parliamentary Review. He said that if this development with cash disappearing happens too fast, it can be difficult to maintain the infrastructure for handling cash. Duh. He declined to give more details on the types of proposals that could be included in the report. Sweden is widely regarded as the most cashless society on this planet. Most of the country's bank branches have stopped handling cash. Many shops, museums, restaurants now only accept plastic or mobile payment. But there's a downside, since many people, in particular the elderly, don't have access to the digital currency. Well, there's something a little bit more. They consider it to be old school. And if they're old enough, they remember when their money used to be made of real valuable stuff, like gold and silver. One may get into a negative spiral, which can threaten the cash infrastructure, Dillon said, if those types of issues we're looking at more closely. Now, the value of the Swedish notes and coins, by the way, in circulation has dropped to the lowest level since 1990. To further enforce, you know, why are you fooling around with that stuff? You know, it's not worth that much. Instead of having discussions about funny money, fiat currency, you know, it's just devaluing. Nothing to see here. Just move on. Last year, the amount of cash in circulation in Sweden dropped to its lowest level since 1990. It is more than 40% below its 2007 peak. An annual survey by Insight Intelligence released last month found that only 25% of the Swedes paid in cash at least once a week in 2017, down 63% from just 4 years ago. And I've been watching the banks here, watching their internal structure, how they're changing things. I told you a long time ago. People that worked in the bank, hey, they got little bonuses for people opening up accounts in the bank. Well, they did away with that. No more bonuses there. The only way you're able to get a bonus, tell them to go bank by the ATM. And if you've noticed in your bank, there's less people. There are more part-timers, less people inside the bank to take care of your business. Now, is it their duty and obligation since we still have a cash society, funny money or not? Of course it is. But they'll make it just as inconvenient as they possibly can and distasteful by hitting you with fines and fees and standing behind those little marble counters smiling at you saying, hi, can I help you? Yeah, why don't you just drop dead, you and all your cronies in the banking industry? I'm telling you, anytime I have an opportunity to talk to suits associated with banks, I am in my glory, folks. I am just absolutely, it is the most satisfying things to watch the little smiles drop from their faces. Because you know what that tells them? Oh my God, this one can see. Makes them a little jumpy. All right, break coming up here. Mikey, how long do I have? 1 minute. I don't have enough time to get into anything else. Got any Jeopardy music there? No, just don't you dare. Open up the phone lines, 800-313-9443. Want to call in, make a comment? Please do. Think about the feet thing, folks. Think about the feet thing. What are you going to do when your feet hit the floor tomorrow? No, Mike. That's not called picking your toes. What is that?
I've got one that can see.
800-313-9443. We can see. We see you. We know what you are. And we're going to lean on you. Get ready.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Mike in Colorado. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing well, John. I appreciate your spirit of rationality today. And with that, every time I hear that George Soros sponsored something, I remember back that Billy the Kid was credited with about 20 to 25% more robberies than he actually ever made.
Well, I'm waiting for the days that I'm hoping that Henry Kissinger and George Soros check off the mortal coil in the same day. That would be a day of celebration for me.
Well, their number's coming up. You know, it gets closer as we get closer to the end. But
yeah, can George Soros get any older and uglier than he is right now? I don't know. It's like looking at a portrait of Dorian Gray.
Well, they kind of remind me of those two Muppet guys that used to sit up in the balcony and heckle everybody.
Pretty much, yeah.
But if I were a liberal rabble rouser right now, I'd use his name every time I did something. I'd say absolutely we're sponsored by George Soros. And you'd gain so much media, and you gain so much, and it stirs up the other side so much.
Yeah, but the guy with bags under his bags probably wouldn't appreciate it. Might cut the funding off.
Well, that maybe we can hope, huh? Mm. But a great show, and I think that, you know, there is a point where when you're in the blizzard and it's still snowing and you still have to get your car out, you just got to keep shoveling. It sucks and it hurts, but and you're cold, but you just got to keep doing it.
It's just something that once you make your mind up. I once had a conversation with a young man about school. He hated school. And I said, look, look at it this way. And and if you accept this and you just say, okay, that's the way it is, you're expected to attend school and pay attention, and they're going to cram you full of stuff, and then you write it down, and they call that a test, okay? And I said, once you make up your mind that that's what you've got to do in order for you to go do what else you want to do, play cards with your friends or, you know, whatever, you do what is expected of you to do. You do it efficiently, quickly, and to the best of your ability. Get it out of the way. Just get it out of the way. And then you have time to go play and do whatever you want to do. And I said, and something that you will not notice right off, but this is going to be a practice of self-discipline that will serve you for the rest of your life. Wow.
Well, absolutely. And my dad was raised on a farm, and that's how he taught me to work. So work to me is a breeze. You just do it, you get it done, you move on. I hope the Patriots who listen to RBN and specifically your show realize that once you do make that commitment and you forget about talking about it and you forget about reading every little story on the internet every single day, yeah, you do feel different inside.
You do.
Feel secure.
You do.
You feel purposeful, and I think you feel stronger.
And that is the case, and it demonstrates that inner strength to other people. And other people like to know that they're a part of something. So.
Exactly. So, all right. Great show, buddy.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your call.
Talk to you later.
Yeah, I said to the producer here during the last break, I said, kind of a calm show today, isn't it? What was your response there, Mike? Seems like that kind of day. Well, you know, with all the fear porn out there, with all the screaming, the ants, and the hand-wringing, and the sweating, and the, oh my God, take a breath. That's what I'm doing today. I'm sorry? And Snowden. John in Austin. Hello, John.
Hey, John. I want to share something with you that hopefully give you a chuckle. The History Channel shared a post on Facebook yesterday, and it was called 7 Weird Things You Didn't Know About the Presidents. It was only a short little thing, a couple of minutes long. And at the end of it, it asked, did anyone have anything they might share on here? And as it happens, there's a little bit of trivia that I like to share with people, and it's, did you ever see the movie Braveheart?
Oh, yeah. About 19 yeah. times.
Well, one of the battles featured in that movie took place in my hometown of Falkirk, and I found out that over the years, people were hacking a big oak tree there, taking souvenirs from it. And someone actually made a jewelry box. They carved a jewelry box from this oak tree, and it was presented to George Washington, your first president. So I typed that in the comment section in this little thing, and a few minutes later I saw that I'd got a response, and this guy saying, are you a Mason? That's not well known. And I said, no, I'm a Daisley. You know, that's my surname. Then this other bird chimes in, she says, totally something a Mason would say. Then I get up this morning, someone else has responded by saying, I was wondering, where did you hear the lie that you speak, and how old is your mother? What the hell is wrong with people?
Mindless. They have nothing to say, so they just say something, and they consider that to be important, John. It's amazing,
isn't it?
It's
the weirdest thing.
We're living in disconnected times. And it's kind of strange because they themselves don't realize that they're just out there just whipping around like your underwear in the washing machine, just being agitated back and forth. You know,
what a great metaphor.
They're just being whipsawed around. And, you know, one of my favorite things to do is to lean on a liberal, you know, and act like I have something I have some interest in what they have to say. And, you know, I'll let them do their bumper sticker recount or something they heard from a friend. And then you delve into them a little bit. and you ask subsequent questions to the statements that they make, and you realize very quickly that they have nothing to say, and to watch their anger and their frustration rise. Because here you are calm and you're asking questions, you're feigning like you give a crap what they have to say, but then they're immediately boxed in because they have hollow thoughts with no reason, logic, fact, or anything else behind it. It's the most marvelous thing to watch somebody's brain melt down. I appreciate your call, John.
All right, mate. Cheers.
Thank you. Guy, you can listen to that guy talk. I wish he'd do a show on his network. Because for a guy that's got a heavy brogue, he's easy to understand. Hutman. Truth in Media, The Revolving Door. This is a four-part series. We have the first part posted on republicbroadcasting.org. And I love Ben Swan. I love just his honest look and the way he approaches, the way he looks right into a camera, and he's like, he's looking at you. And he had a short stint, figured out, didn't take him too long to figure out he's not a guy for radio. He's a guy for presentation and TV. But he does this series on FDA and a big pharma. And you can go to the website. We posted the first of the four in that series. And there's a link there to Ben Swan. You can go to his webpage. But this is what Ben Swan has to say about the FDA and Big Pharma. And some of this I did not know. And, geez, gosh, I hope I don't get to the point where I know enough about that subject, because I was surprised by some of the stuff that he was bringing up here. And, again, a very calm, rational, reasonable approach and presentation. I just love it. Minus the fear of porn. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
Big Pharma. The name alone conjures images of collusion, big money, and major influence. In this series, we're going to take a look at Big Pharma and its powerful influence over media, doctors, and even you. And we're going to give you an unprecedented look at the truth behind the tactics, the strategy, and the revolving door between the FDA and these big pharmaceutical companies that claim to be looking out for your health. The first step toward truth is to be informed.
Hear, hear.
And stay tuned after our episode for an important message on health. Well, it is a stunning accusation. The former commissioner of the FDA accused, along with her husband, of making hundreds of millions of dollars while suppressing information about deadly drugs. The RICO lawsuit was filed April 11, 2016 in the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. on behalf of eight plaintiffs who claimed they suffered severe harm by ingesting the drug Levaquin, whose deadly risks were concealed to protect financial interests. The two of them are accused of collusion, conspiracy, and racketeering alongside the pharmaceutical giant Johnson & Johnson to conceal the deadly risks of Levaquin from the lawsuit. While Defendant Hamburg was FDA commissioner, her husband, Defendant Brown's annual income, not coincidentally, increased from a reported $10 million in 2008 to an estimated $125 million in 2011. And an estimated $90 million in 2012, due in whole or in part to the defendant's racketeering conspiracy to withhold information about the devastating, life-threatening, and deadly effects of Levaquin. The lawsuit brings to light just one portion of the problem between troubling relationships in the FDA and Big Pharma. Though clearly, what is alleged here, if true, would be one of the most dramatic examples in history. A public citizen petitioned the FDA in 1996 and again in 2006 to issue black box warnings for tendon rupture and tendinitis. Had warnings been issued, the death toll from Levaquin, reputedly more than 5,000, by the way, and the tens of thousands who were debilitated with life-threatening diseases, would likely have been averted. And yet Levaquin was a blockbuster drug, and it was heavily prescribed by doctors.
The FDA and many of these organizations that are supposed to oversee these pharmaceutical companies and these drug makers, were they failing in that, in their role to be able to determine whether or not these drugs were dangerous?
Doug Bremner is an author, a doctor, and a professor at Atlanta's Emory University.
When the FDA is looking at a drug, they're essentially determining whether or not that drug is safe based on the information they're being given. But if the drug itself is dangerous after the fact, they're not following up to determine whether or not that's true?
Congress has limited the budget of the FDA over the years, so they've capped the budget so that it can't increase, but they've also demanded that they increase the speed with which they approve drugs. So the number of people working on new drug approval has been increasing at the expense of those who are supposed to be watching drugs after they come out on the market.
The FDA is approving drugs, but once they're on the market, there's very little oversight, as in the case with Levaquin. But getting drugs past the FDA, that can also be a case of collusion on a number of levels.
The thing about the FDA is the FDA is not a full-time, a career job. It's a few years on the FDA, and then they're being courted by the pharmaceutical companies.
Lori Powell is a former brand strategist for a medical education agency which serves the pharmaceutical industry. She says there is a difficult balance here because while the FDA officials are supposed to be watchdogs over pharmaceutical companies, they're also constantly courted by pharmaceutical companies.
You'll have a Merck going in and saying to somebody on the FDA, I'll give you $600,000 if you'll come and work on our regulatory committee to go into bat for us with the FDA. And they'll say, okay, well, I'll think about that. And then there'll be like a Pfizer will come in and say, well, we'll give you $800,000 a year to come in and work on our regulatory committee. And so it becomes like a bidding war like that. So the FDA knows that their next jumping off point to go from a lower paying government job to be a very lucrative pharma job on the inside, on the manufacturing side, they know that that's part of their career path. So that, I'm sure, weighs heavily into their decision-making process.
So the question is, should that practice be banned? If you want to work for the FDA, shouldn't that be what you have chosen to do?
Those people that work there should not be allowed to go to work with pharmaceuticals. They should not have any contact with those people. They should realize that their job is serious and it's important. And if they want to work there, that's their career.
And yet fraud between the public and the private sectors happens every day. What you need to know here is that fixing the revolving door between a government agency like the FDA and these massive pharmaceutical companies actually is pretty easy. Shouldn't it simply be illegal to work for an agency like the FDA and then leave that public sector job for a job in the private sector that you once oversaw regulation for? There are some who will say, hey, you can't do that. We're a capitalist economy. But allowing regulators to be in positions of power that can be bought off or influenced by their massive companies that they're supposed to oversee, well, folks, that's not capitalism. It's cronyism. And the only people who likely believe that it's acceptable are those who stand to profit from it.
Yeah. Now, that's kind of a personal form of... how should we say, the public-private partnership. Not only does the FDA make it difficult for people to have, and if they're not part of Pfizer or Roche or some large drug company with a lot of money to bribe, I'm sorry, to get approval. Try, if you are a smaller individual, a smaller company, trying to get approved by the FDA, they will run you through a money mill, and most people can't do it. So the field's left wide open for what? Well, the people with the bags full of money that are making these nasty drugs that basically are killing people. But that's kind of a form of a personal fascism. You know, I'm working a government job, and you know, instead of making 80 grand a year working in this little schlup house, I'm making my way, and I'll be taking the bids. Because once the pharmaceutical companies zap me up, I'm going to be able to tell them exactly what they need to do and how they need to do it from step A to step Z with little or no problem, let's say. Fred in Wisconsin. Hello, Fred.
Yeah, this is kind of off topic, but I was amazed by what I saw take place in the capital of Wisconsin here. This is about the recent shootings, of course, that took place. And there was a meeting in the city council, and there's a group of people in Madison, and I would characterize Madison, this is a university town similar to Austin, you know, capital, big university, all of that. So it's basically left of center. But what happened was in this meeting, all these people came in and they're trying to stop the police from working with the Madison schools. And apparently there's a police presence in these high schools.
Mm-hmm. They call them SROs, Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically what happened was they're demanding that all these police officers be removed. The police chief was on the radio. I was listening to the interview, and he was like flabbergasted that they would even attempt to do something like this after the shooting. And then yesterday, they took a 22 off a kid at a high school that, the kid wasn't posing a threat, but he was carrying a gun around in the school. And he got into a certain point, and they figured it out, and they grabbed him up. But I just find it so crazy that these people are, I don't know what the word would be, they're worried about their children, and then they turn right around and say, well, we don't want anybody to protect our kids, you know.
Well, and the one infamous thing about this whole scenario is that if you declare that to be a gun-free zone, then that's just an open invitation for any wingnut, any, whacked out SSRI recipient, somebody delusional that's really not of this earth anymore, to act out one of his fantasies or one of his delusions and walk right into the school and have at whoever he wants to. It's the same scenario. Gun free, it's an invitation.
Yeah, I came off the road. I met a woman here some years ago, and I was working. I had friends that had gone to school at that university, and guy knew me pretty well, and he says, they got the hammer and sickle flying over the state capitol. I said, what the hell are you talking about? So when I got here, I started to see the politics, act itself out. But they have a public library with Planned Parenthood right in the same building, a facility you go to get an abortion,
Right.
I've just been amazed by the stuff I'm seeing. I'm hoping that the whole country hasn't turned this way, but Madison, Wisconsin is really amazing.
I'm still trying to find a buyer, somebody in Canada that wants to buy the damn state. And nobody wants it. It's even too mindless and liberal for the Canadians.
Well, as far as the other insidious thing, because I've gotten to know some police, is that all the drugs coming in, meaning heroin, is coming in from the Canadian border, which I guess you can walk across in northern Minnesota. It's being muled from Minnesota down the interstate to Madison, Wisconsin. Then it's being put into Illinois-bound cars with Illinois plates and taken straight to Chicago. As a result of this, the price of heroin on the streets in Madison is $10 a gram.
Wow. Cheap addiction.
Fred, it's just unbelievable.
Fred, along the lines of what you just talked about, if I can finish out the program with this piece, I think it'll put a smile on your face.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fred. I appreciate your call. And the story is posted on republicbroadcasting.org. You can copy these things and send them to your friends. Down here in Texas, we just do things a little bit different. And down here, a Texas police chief, he advocated for arming teachers to prevent mass shootings. Wow. In the wake of the deadly shooting at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, 17-year-old survivor Colton Hobb told Fox News that he believes that if his football coach, Aaron Feist, who died in the attack shielding students from gunfire, had been able to carry his firearm to school, he would have been able to effectively obstruct the gunman, if not kill him. And this is Ryan Saavedra's post on Twit. ROTC student, if Coach Feist had had his firearm in school that day, I believe that most likely he could have stopped the threat. Feist was the football coach who died shielding students. He was a trained security guard but wasn't allowed to carry a gun to protect students. Hobb went on to explain that Feist, who was trained security guard in addition to being an assistant football coach, upon hearing the sound of gunfire, sped off to his golf cart toward the sound of the gunshots. While arming teachers is not a common practice, The Daily Caller reports that one Texas school district has been doing exactly that for the past 4 years. In 2014, motivated in part by the wake of Sandy Hook, the Argyle Independent School District began allowing staff members to carry guns on school grounds after intense interviews and training in an effort to mitigate the threat from a potential mass shooting. Argyle Independent School District Police Chief Paul Kearney appeared on MSNBC over the weekend and discussed the steps staff must take in order to carry a firearm on the campus. And he was asked if he was concerned for the safety of the students due to the presence of firearms. Kearney noted the practice of allowing armed staff is highly controlled, stating that when it comes to school shootings, the time to do nothing is over. And a recent WFAA TV report explained the process to carry a firearm in Argyle Independent School District. And they reported to become a school marshal, those employees must undergo extensive active shooter and firearms training with the state. They must also undergo a mental health evaluation. They receive a school marshal's designation by the Texas Commission of Law Enforcement and must review their license every 2 years by undergoing the same training and evaluation. Outside of campuses in Keene and Argyle, signs they warn visitors that there are staff members who are armed and are prepared to protect children. Wow! How avant-garde is that? We handpick these people. We make sure they go through an extensive screening process. They go through a psychological evaluation and then go through an intense training where they shoot over 900 rounds of ammunition in just a few days. To critics arming teachers, Kearney said, if you think of something better, let us know. We're willing to listen. But at the same time, the day of doing nothing is over. I find this rather fascinating. We're just about out of time, aren't we here, Mikey? Let me take Roxanne. We got about a minute. Roxanne.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, you know, when you mention Emory, I get real nervous because that's where the Ebola people went via Phoenix Air and whatnot. But then we know 42,000 people die yearly of prescribed opioids. Right?
Yeah.
And so, do you remember on 214, 218, 300 people died of medical errors? So, I, you know, 36 years in the medical business, we know that Big Pharma, they bring in the cheerleaders. They're a handsome sort of non-compliant male models. They bring in the food daily to the doctor's office to dispense the drug.
Right.
And we know Lipitor causes what? The femoral artery. It messes up the femoral artery and the hip replacements in this country. Woo-hoo. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Roxanne. Folks, I was just paying some bills in that first hour while you're listening to Eric Snowden, and we're tapped out of cash and we still got bills to pay. Along with that decision of planting your feet on the floor tomorrow and feeling better about the decision you've made to do something, well, do something else. Support those that are supporting you. Give us a call here at the network, 800-724-2719, extension 3. Make a donation today. Thanks for being here.
Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.